Happy New Year, everyone. This is Donna Fox, and you are listening to Akashic Wisdom on BBS Radio. Akashic Wisdom is this program where we talk about the Akashic Records, and we talk about what is happening in your life and why it's happening in your life and why things are happening in the world. And this is definitely a call-in show. We definitely want to hear from you. So if you would like to give a call, you can dial in at 415-762-1161, and that should hunt for the right number. And if for some reason it doesn't or whatever, you can call the other numbers on BBS Radio, which I'm just going to give you another one. It's 530-413-4511. Okay, so did everyone have your New Year's, you know, I hate to call them resolutions. I even hate to call them New Year's goals, because it really has more along the line of choices. You know, we have an opportunity every day, every moment. It doesn't have to be New Year's. But we have an opportunity to make different choices. And the way we make our choices has a lot to do with how our life works. So when people will talk about affirmations, and people will talk about, I'm not a big fan of affirmation, affirmations. One of the reasons I'm not a big fan of affirmations is because whenever I try it, I always feel like I was lying to myself. Because my monkey mind would come in there and chatter away, and, you know, it's like, you know, I am rich and healthy, you know, and my monkey mind would say, yeah, well, you know what your checkbooks look like, and you know, you haven't been feeling good lately, and yada, yada, yada. But the idea here is that I have found that my life can change when I use what Noah St. John calls affirmations. So why do I know that I am wealthy and healthy? Or why do I know it's okay or safe to be wealthy and healthy? And I see that my world can change and turn around. I've also looked at the way, you know, in other words, like when we choose something, when we're talking to the universe, rather than saying, I want, it's really about I choose. You can say, I choose to create, I choose to have, or I just choose. So I choose to earn X amount of dollars on an annual basis. And so what happens when you use the phraseology of I choose, it's a much more positive, I don't even want to call it positive, that's not the right word. It's a more, let me get the right word from the record keeper. It's a more solid way of looking at life, because when you make choice, it's an active participation of moving on to your next step and stepping into your own manifestation or your own worth, if you will. So, you know, years ago, I read a book by a man by the name of Robert Fritz, and it was called, oh boy, I can't remember the name of it. But what was important about the book is it had all this information about primary choice and secondary choice, and technologies for creating is what he was proposing. And what he was talking about was, I think that's the name of the book, as a matter of fact, Technologies for Creating. What he was talking about is that you have primary and secondary choices, and that the choices need to basically align so that every choice builds on the other. And that it's really a matter of moving into choices and into that alignment. And then really taking a look at how your life looks and feels, and then at the same time, take a look at what you're choosing. So you may want to look up Robert Fritz and Technologies for Creating. I'm sure he's still doing some work. I'm sure the book is available, if not new, used. So that might be interesting for you to take a look at and really look into choice and I choose. So that's kind of my tip for the day. The other thing is that not next week, but the week after on the 17th, we're going to have Elena Lynn Lieberman, who is my teacher of the Akashic Records, and she is going to be talking about her new book. And her new book is called The Principles of Dynamic Manifestation as Received Through the Akashic Records. And so I would highly recommend you get a copy of this. It's available on Amazon, and she also has her own website, and that website is dynamicmanifestation.com. So do check in. That is coming up on January 17th. Okay. All right. So in talking about the new year and in moving into our choices, are we allowed, that's not the right word, it's not allowed, the idea here is not to make our choices, if you will, so grandiose that we work against ourselves in getting them. I mean, there's a lot of people that make choices about what they want to create, knowing within their heart that they wouldn't know what to do with the choice if they got it. That's what happens to millionaires, you know. I mean, well, not millionaires, the ones that build it. I'm talking about the ones that hit the lottery. There's so many folks that will hit the lottery, and they're so not ready to handle that wealth that they end up blowing it in a couple of years. They don't have any money left. And so it's really about moving into a space of you deciding or you choosing the life that you want for the new year. I mean, we're only 2 years away from 2012. And beyond what everyone says, there may be global shifts. I know there's going to be global shifts. And the record keepers are, even though we don't really do futures, they are saying that there will be various areas of trauma. But it has more to do with the earth aligning itself and kind of rebalancing itself. But we, those of us who will still be here on the planet, have the opportunity to begin working now to move into that energetic space that's coming in 2011 and 2012. In fact, what I'm also hearing is that the 2011, as we get closer, it's almost like the earth is going to ease us into 2012 in a very interesting way. And so we need to look at our life not just from the local lens of how much do we have in the bank, or are you going to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a lover, but from a global point of view. So what is your intention or your wish or your choice, if you will, for the world, for the earth? And so along with those choices, it's really about holding the energy and moving into a space of love so that you can actually move into a space of feeling that you are a creator. And clearly a creator of your life, but you are a part of the divine creator. Sometimes that's really hard for us to gather or to fathom how we are a part of the creator. But the reality is that we are. I mean, we are a part of that which has created us. It's impossible not to be a part of that which has created us. So the same way you are, or you carry the DNA of your ancestral line and your parents, is the same way that we carry the ancestry and the knowingness and the beingness of the divine. So just think about that one. Okay? Just think about that one. By the way, for those people who are listening in, you can also email me at info@akashicwisdom.com. Whenever you have a question, if you don't want to use the phone, you can certainly do that. And again, info@akashicwisdom.com. So there are some questions that we can ask that I would suggest, okay, that I would suggest you begin to ask yourself. And it's beyond how do I want my life to look and feel. That's a good question to start out with. But the other question is what am I willing to do to move into my own power, to allow the divine to bring me my birthright? Allow the divine to bring you your birthright. You know, in the last week or the week before, we were talking about the prayer of Jabez. And the prayer of Jabez says, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me to keep me from evil, so I shall cause no pain." Now that's a very interesting concept. I mean, we all don't mean to cause any pain, now do we? But what kind of pain do we cause ourselves? You know, we don't walk around wanting to hurt other people. But how does the way we treat ourselves affect the way we treat the earth and the vibrations that we carry as far as other people are concerned? So it's like what we do to ourselves, we do to other people. So it's really important for us to take a look at that when we're trying to decide what we want. And we're trying to ask for the for our highest good. And then it's also important for us to take a look at who we are and what we're doing in our lives that will support our choices. So that's, you know, the idea here is that you can't ask for great health and keep eating McDonald's French fries, you know. I'm learning that myself. Totally eliminated fast food. I just want you to know I'm very proud of myself. Haven't had fast food in, I can't remember when. Good few weeks. Well, that's important to me, good few weeks. You know, you got to start somewhere, right? Got to start somewhere in treating your body in a healthy way. Absolutely. So I want you to think about what kind of world would you like to create, not just for yourself, but for others. Yeah, I saw the movie Avatar, And I was just blown away by that movie. But I think what was so wonderful about that movie was the connection that the Na'vi, which are the indigenous folks that are on the planet, if you've seen the movie, what their connection was with the earth and everything around them. And if I could live in a world like that, where truly everybody knew and believed, and notice I said knew, they absolutely knew from the depths of their being, and believed how they are connected to the earth, I think that would be so magnificent. To be able to really walk and act as if that we had that ability to be a part of the world or a part of the earth and know that every action we had, it was literally required of us to be in harmony with it. And as long as we were within harmony, we were in harmony with the earth or with the planet would be in harmony with us, and we would have an easy life. And so in creating your New Year's ideas of what you would like to have, I encourage you to look at what is going to create and bring you harmony. Ease, grace, and harmony would be the watchwords for the year. For when you create it with ease, grace, and harmony, you have the opportunity to move into a place of dynamic creativity. Yeah. So you might want to think about that. Ease, grace, and harmony. Just to feel it with how that feels. I choose a life of ease, grace, and harmony. Just those words alone actually mellow you all out. To just help you understand or feel actually the dynamic peace that is there for us. I choose ease, grace, and harmony. Notice how that makes you feel. And in every situation that you have in life that comes up, if you can just step back for a moment and choose ease, grace, and harmony. I mean, you know, everybody's life has challenges. Clearly mine has a lot of challenges right now. And I'm choosing to move into ease, grace, and harmony. Yeah. Okay. So let me give you those call-in numbers. Love to talk to you about your New Year's plans, if you will, or anything you'd like to talk about tonight. You can call 415-762-1161. Again, 415-762-1161. Or you can email me at info@akashicwisdom.com. That's Akashic Wisdom, just like the program Akashic Wisdom. So let's talk about the Akashic Records now. That's what this program's all about. And so if you would like to talk about something else, then you need to call me. Right now I'm going to talk about the Akashic Records because that's my life and that's what I like to work with. Just for your own information, we're going to be having a level one Akashic Record workshop here in Cleveland on the 30th and 31st of January. And you can certainly call and talk to me about that or find out more about it. So the Akashic Records are are actually coming forward in a way, they're coming, what I mean by coming forward, but the message that the record keepers would like you to have is that the energy of the Akasha is within everything the same way the energy of the divine is, because the information from that divine part of you is what creates the Akashic records. So the Akashic records are the energetic recording of your soul's journey over every lifetime. So every thought, every word, every deed are registered in the Akasha, including your soul's intention for this lifetime. And it's not about soul's intention being one-dimensional. It's about your soul's intention of creating or moving back into the knowledge of who you are. As, you know, there's every dynamic aspect of us has a purpose. It also carries a vibration. And so that purpose and that vibration is what we want to align. We have a caller on the line. Hello, caller. Hello.
Hello.
I heard a number.
My name is Craig.
Say again?
Hello. Can you hear me? My name is Craig.
Hi, Craig. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I was listening to your program for a few minutes here, in the first few minutes while you were talking. And I thought, well, I guess I'll just have to call her.
Well, that's great. Where are you calling from?
I'm in Palm Springs.
Oh, Palm Springs, California?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's got to be nice and warm down there.
It's wonderful here. This is paradise in the desert.
Well, I'm sitting in Cleveland, Ohio with about 6 inches of snow, so...
Yeah, well, I'm sharing that warm, sunny vibration right next to the mountains.
Well, that's great. That's great. What would
snowy
you, what
peaks
else?
All around us, but, you know, the sun shines here, so snow
that's
doesn't
right.
ever come down here.
That's great. So what
I love your conversations. You're wonderful. I've listened
thank
to you previously, and but tonight I just ended up on your program because it's the right program. And I really don't have a question. I wanted to say hi to you and just say thank you for providing what you provide.
Why, thank you, Craig. Thank you. So what did you do you have some ideas of what you would like to create for the new year?
Well, your words were very appropriate as you were coming forward with grace, in the grace, because we're actually in the grace. And so in the grace, we will live in peace, love, and harmony. It will be a little shaky, but we're definitely going to hold true to that, and that's what we'll live.
Right. Staying
focused in that. Yeah.
I'm sorry, say again?
Staying focused.
I sometimes have a little delay on this line, so I apologize if I cut in you. That's not my intention. Please share what you were just saying.
I'm understanding what we're going through. So I'm not sure why, but it is doing that.
What you mean going in? I don't know what it has to do with this.
The echo.
Yeah, right.
Or the delay.
Yeah.
The phone line is doing something very different.
Yeah.
Sometimes
I'm going to stop talking for a moment and let you talk. So what would you like
sometimes
to share?
Sometimes we get interference. You know.
Yeah.
There's still a lot of technology around that creates interference in our airwaves, so you know, I just become accustomed to it and find it humorous.
So what else would you like to share with our listeners?
That's good.
Yes. Okay, so what would...
go ahead.
No, I just wanted to know what you would like to share with our listeners.
Well, I'd say that everything's good. And there should be no fear, and it's all changing. It's all changing for the best for all of us. We're in the grace, and just stay true to yourself, and remember to breathe, because it's going to be a nice ride.
I agree with you. That's great. That's great. And how long has it taken you to come to this one, these wonderful conclusions?
Well, let's see. I was born in 56. So I think my window, actually, I know my window opened at the age of 51. So it was my 52nd year was my design.
Uh-huh.
Previous to that, I had had gates of opening through self-destruction, you know, bodily, out-of-body things. And so doing some shaman activities and then self-destruction, physical destruction, out-of-body. So I've had this perspective for quite some time. I just didn't know how true, how real it was until maybe 5 years ago.
Okay. Cool.
But it becomes more real as I have more vision. Things are clearer for all of us now. It's a good vision.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So I wonder if we have, do we have another caller on the line?
I heard one beeping in. You can talk to someone else.
Okay, well, Craig, call back.
Thank you so much for calling. Thank
you for talk. Appreciate your call. Take care. Hello? Hello,
hi.
Is anyone? Hi there.
Hi. This is Scott calling from Eugene, Oregon.
Hey, how are you, Scott?
Good. We have rain and you have snow.
And Craig has sunshine. There we go.
Yeah. I just tuned in, and I wanted to... this is a really big question. I'm going to just ask it and then hang up and listen, if you don't mind.
Okay.
A lot of people are talking, like on this radio station, about the things coming up in the next year or two, and... I know a lot about 2012 and some of that talk, but I just wanted to get your take on why do we think anything is changing? What is happening with our world and our universe, our energies that is going to bring this about, and what kind of change is expected?
That's a great question. Don't hang up. Let's just talk about this. I think that's an important
piece
of that. Only because... the interesting thing about why people think things are changing, what the record keepers are saying is, number one, that the idea of the Mayan 2012 predictions or prophecies have actually taken on a morphogenic field. I can never say that name right. But anyway, that they have created a field of their own. And that field is can be looked at as truth. It can be looked at as fear. It can be looked at as a wonderful shift of energy. And there are scientists that have actually looked at the planet and the way it's shifting, and that says that there are going to be some polar shifts and et cetera. What's important about the change has to do with us releasing any fear around change. Every time someone says change, we have a tendency to tense up and be afraid of the change. Can you identify with that?
Yeah.
So when we tense up and we're afraid, all of a sudden we create that vibration around us, and the more people who create that vibration of fear, the more it goes out into the planet, and the more fear we have, the more we start keeping everything close to our vest. We start being afraid, and the fear then starts actually becoming like a fog that moves on our brain, and that we can't think right because we're so based in fear. And so the change and the shift that the record keepers have talked to me about is the fact that people are going to actually, you know, move out of their fear into a knowing. Not everyone will, but the same way everybody was afraid of 2000, you know, the turn of the century.
Yeah.
Everybody was so afraid, you know, that all of it is, everybody's computers were supposed to go down. And nothing visually happened. In other words, like, the reality is we still remained who we are, but a lot of energetic changes happened that are now ushering in a new way of thinking and for the masses. Can you just kind of do a look back on the 2000 and take a look at the way the consciousness has changed just since the year 2000. It's really shifted. Can you see that?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look
at the movies we've got out. I mean, the movies are the interesting thing about cinema seems to be the pulse of the of humanity, at least in the Americas anyway.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden we're starting to see more metaphysical things on that screen. Even though they have to put the same old war part of it in there, you know, it's in a grander story with a real push, and the message has to do with, you know, come back to your earth, come back to your land, or come back to your belief, come back to who you are. So, what are you afraid of?
Has anything intensified in the last few days about this with the energies? I've heard some talk like that.
Has anything intensified, did you say?
Yeah, which is like since the solstice last month.
I feel that it has. That there are a lot of people sleeping a lot. There are a lot of people sleeping a lot. That's what I'm hearing, because their bodies have to adjust. And there's a lot of people, if they're not sleeping a lot, boy, wish they could. And there's a lot of people walking around feeling really tired and very foggy. I'll put my hand up on that one. And it's not because they had a heavy New Year, you know. I don't drink, so the idea is that there's a lot of energies that are coming in and shifting since that solstice, actually right before the solstice, is because we as a species are shifting our vibrations, and our whole beingness is actually opening up. Even the ones who think they're not, or we think they're not awake. I mean, everybody has relatives that think they're still in the dark ages, you know?
Yeah. And I don't know what kind of changes, you know, to expect, of course, in myself, but I would wonder if, like, last month my mother-in-law passed away and I was able to be there when it happened, and it's been a long relationship with them, and I've found that just the whole experience has changed the way I feel about a lot of things.
Uh-huh. How has it changed it?
You know, oh boy, I never had to put this into words. Just less judgmental,
uh-huh.
More accepting of, you know, another person's life, no matter what it is, even if it was not what I would have done, or none of that. It's just, it's just such a waste of time and energy to be judgmental and sit around trying to figure out what somebody did wrong or right, or what you're doing wrong or right, versus just, you know, resistance.
Right. No, I get that. I lost my husband in October. And,
recent.
Yeah, very recent. And so, you know, there's been a lot of changes emotionally for me, you know, just going through that loss. You know, we were together for a long time. And and the judgment, that's a very interesting concept or comment, because when someone you care for dies, all of a sudden the judgment you thought you had, really, at least for me, it moves away. I mean, we try not to be judgmental, but the reality is we are, because we're human. We're wired that way, and there's a lot of things that we judge, and yet if we look back, the person who passed was always just trying to do the best they could with what they had, based on their own knowledge of what they were raised with. So how has that affected your relationship with your wife or your partner?
I think it's been good because she didn't know how I had felt before, and I guess I really didn't know how I had felt all these years as well as I do now, and it's a good thing. I have a better attitude than I thought.
That's good. How's she doing with the loss?
Amazingly well with it. She walked her through, was with her through the whole process of taking care of her in the last few weeks of the terminal cancer, and she went through a lot of the grieving process beforehand.
Sure.
I think. You know, you never really know. But she's doing really well, so.
That's good. Go ahead.
My father-in-law is also interesting to watch. I saw the stages of grief, even denial up till the very end, and then I hope he's moving into acceptance. But you're familiar with the stages of grief.
Yeah. And the other thing too is that you know, grief is everybody has their own way of grieving. You know, some people, you know, and it comes out in different places in different ways. Some people get angry, and some people just
stage.
And some people, and again, even though there are those stated stages of grief, they also come out in different ways. I mean, there was like, everybody has their own way of dealing with the loss. And what's so important is to let ourselves off the hook about what we could have or should have done.
Yeah.
You know, that's real important because the wonderful being who has passed on is truly in a better place than we are. In other words, from a point of view, they're free. In other words, they're free for us. In your mother-in-law's aspect, you know, she's free of illness right now. She's back where she belongs, back at home, you know. And we have chosen to be here on the planet, you know, to do our work and to stay behind. So it's important that we understand that those who have gone on before us have their own work to do. And everything is perfect. I truly believe this. What the record keepers have told me about this is that no one leaves the planet by accident.
Yeah, that's a dilemma that I have a little bit. Is everything really perfect, or is it a result of my continual screw-ups, you know?
Well, it depends on what you mean by that.
Well, I was talking to my daughter-in-law about this just a little while ago, too, and she has a lot of regrets, like, oh, if I would have only done that or not done that, then things would be different now. And I'm hearing that little comment that, well, everything's perfect the way it is right now. How can you say that the entire cosmos combining to create this moment is somehow wrong? But I still, you know, don't feel sure of that myself, that it is perfect in the moment.
Well, what the record keepers are saying right now is that the reason why everything is perfect in the moment is because whatever a person feels when a loved one dies, whatever guilt there is of I should have done this, I could have done that, that is actually their learning. It's the learning of their own personal expansion of their compassion. And so it's really about their learning, because the person who they coulda, shoulda, woulda, whatever it was, if in fact they noticed what could have been done differently, it was their learning to receive and accept the fact that it wasn't being done. And now, after the loss, it's the person who didn't do it, it's their learning of how they want to move forward in their life and handle it. And that's where the perfection is, because the person who passed doesn't need any of that anymore. But the person
yeah.
who's left is the one who needs to move into their own forgiveness. And that forgiveness of self is the huge
yeah.
lesson. And so it's really, because once a person passes, they automatically forgive everyone that was on the, whatever happened. But it's we who are sitting here that don't forget our, forgive ourselves for what we should have done. If only I would have
yeah.
done this. And the reality is you didn't do it. And so you have a choice. You can continue to carry that bag of rocks and beat yourself up, or you can say, what can I learn from this experience of what I could have or should have done in compassion to someone else and now in compassion to myself.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. And hopefully.
All right. Well, hey, I appreciate you letting me talk. I better get going. But
okay.
I'll keep listening for a little bit. So.
I hope
you, thank you,
have
very
you listened
much.
Before? Have you listened before?
No. I listened to other programs on that station, but not yours. I just happened to run across it tonight.
Well, you see, everything's perfect in the universe, isn't it?
Yep. Yes. Okay. Well, thank you so much.
All right. Take care, Scott. Bye-bye.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
So that's really important, though. It's wonderful if we can really look at, you know, the fact that everything is perfect in the universe. We have to look at what ourselves and the lessons that we want to learn. And not to say that, you know, I hate to call them lessons, but they're really more situations that we can glean experience from to look at. You know, the record keepers have said this many times, but what's interesting is that, and hopefully Scott will hear this, is that the record keepers have said that there are no, regarding the forgiveness, that there are no victims and there are no perpetrators. There are only experiences and observations. Everything else is experience. And so when someone passes, we observe ourselves and we observe how other people grieve, and we observe how other people relate to the grieving, as well as how they handle it, and so on. So it's really about looking and observing, and the more we can really let ourselves off the hook, the better off we are. Okay. Okay. So I have a question about the blue moon. You know, we had a blue moon on December 24th. So blue moon is when it has nothing to do with moon being blue, but there's two full moons in the same month, and I guess what was really special about this is there's not going to be another one until 2031. And so what Lasita wants to know is, what is the meaning behind the blue moon and what does it symbolize? Well, that's interesting, because the first thing that comes forward that I'm hearing is that it's coming forward to talk about abundance and prosperity. And that if we put, and now they're showing me the two moons coming together to create like a vesica piscis, which is what they, it's like when two circles intersect and then there's this one piece in the middle that looks like a beautiful oval. And it also, the exterior shows to me the infinity sign. So it's an infinity sign that says we are infinite. And that's what's coming forward, that we are infinite. And if you just take, you know, so if you were to take the two moons and put them next to each other, like, and it would look like a figure eight on its side. And the inside of that is where that sacred space is, and it's all sacred. But then if you were just to trace it and look, you would see that there is an infinity sign when you put those two moons together. And what the record keepers are saying is that we need to look at our personal, okay, infinite beauty, the infinite part of us that is always here, and our own our own magnificence and the abundance of that we're working with here. And so the blue moons, having the blue moon, is important. It's important. And it's important to notice. So that's what the record keepers would like you to know about the blue moon. Thank you, Lucita. That's great. Great. Okay. And another one is not until 2031, so I guess we're still going to be around, huh? I guess we're still going to be, well, I don't know that I'm going to be here in 2031, but definitely, or, you know, anyway. But somebody's going to be here in 2031. That's what we need to know. The planet is still going to be around in 2031 because we need those two blue moons to show up in December. That's a good idea. So, great. Thank you for that question. So, in this coming year, what's going to be important for us all to see and all to look at and all to work with is forgiveness of self. That's what this is all coming down to. What it's all coming down to is for us to really move into the sanctity of forgiving ourselves for any past transgressions that we feel that we have done toward anyone else. And if you need to ask that person's forgiveness, then you need to go and ask that person's forgiveness, but you need to ask the forgiveness in a way that's meaningful. So it means that we really need to mean it. And if there's things that you feel that you haven't done, that you want to forgive yourself for, let's say there are opportunities you feel you lost, or things that you could have done and didn't do, or successes that you wish you had but you felt you didn't work hard enough for, or things that maybe with another person you could have but you didn't do. You know, all of that just weighs on us. It weighs on us in a way that creates a lot of junk in our bunk, if you will. A lot of stuff that we don't need. And so it's time to start releasing all the stuff that no longer serves us in the areas of guilt. That's the big one. We have to really look at what the record keepers are saying is releasing and getting rid of all the things that we feel we didn't do the right thing with. Because when we start forgiving ourselves, then we open ourselves up to receive more creativity and we feel more worthy. It's the lack of forgiveness that keeps us stuck where we're at. Now, we can do all the programs in the world you want. You can do The Secret. You can do the different types of analyzing what your beliefs are. But if you are not willing and ready to forgive yourself, it's not going to work. It's not going to work because you're going to constantly be reminding yourself about what you didn't do. And if you constantly remind yourself about what you didn't do, you're not going to get any. It's almost like it's a big circle. So if you're feeling guilty about something, and you want to create something else, the next thing you know is you're moving towards creating something, and your mind tells you that you're not good enough because you did this other thing, so it stops you. And you keep getting stopped because it's really about releasing yourself from past transgressions that no longer serve you. So one of the most important ways to create prosperity and manifestation is forgiveness of self. And that's what's coming forward now. So that's the message for you. That's something that every single person listening to this program, either live or with archives, you cannot afford another moment, not another second, of personal guilt. It no longer serves you. Get rid of it. And the way you get rid of it is by acknowledging it. Okay, I screwed up, I was wrong, and I'm deeply sorry. Please forgive me. There is that. This is where the Ho'oponopono work comes in so well, where Dr. Hugh Lynn says that what he calls a cleaning, that you constantly have to clean for whatever comes into your life. But let's just say that you want to just quote-unquote clean or release on yourself. And the way you say it is, I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. And if you want to, which is wonderful, to imagine saying it to that little kid inside of you, that little inner child, the one that you feel that you have hurt or someone has hurt along the way, or that teenager, whatever part of you that's feeling stuck, that's feeling that they can't move forward or that keeps reminding you about what you didn't do, that's the part that needs to be forgiven. That's the part that needs to be embraced. And it's time for you to move into that space of knowing and loving. And so it's really time for you to use the statements that will best serve you. And part of the statement, I'm going to repeat them now. They're very short. One is the prayer of Jabez. Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me to keep me from evil, so I should cause no pain. And then the Ho'oponopono comment, the statement is, I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. And so this new year is your year for stepping out of the bondage of guilt and into the paradise of forgiveness and onto the road, the journey that brings you back to who you are, so that you can claim your birthright, so that you can have all that you need in fullness and in ease, grace, and harmony. And so that's my wish for you this weekend, or this year, this week, that you look at creating a life of ease, grace, and harmony, guilt-free. And also it means that the forgiveness not only of self, but of others too. It's time to take those burdens off your back. You no longer need them. They're no longer serving you. They're just holding you back. So we are here now. We're done with our program. You know, it's the time has flown by. I want to thank Craig and Scott for calling in. You was such a nice addition. I want to thank Lucita for her questions, as always. And I want to thank all the wonderful masters, teachers, loved ones, and lords of the Akasha that bring their wisdom to us every week. And if you'd like to know more about how to open the records on your own, if you have a group that you would like me to come and speak to and bring forth a message specifically for that group, then you need to call me at my personal number. And that's 216-691-1233. You can call that number day or night. And if I'm by my desk, I'll answer it. And if I'm not, there's an answering machine, or answering service, rather, or voicemail. You're not going to disturb anyone. You feel free to call. Leave your questions, but be sure to leave your contact information. I want you to know how much I love you. I want you to know how deeply you're appreciated that you're listening. If you'd like to donate to the show and donate to the production of the show, that'd be great. You can do that via PayPal at akashicwisdom@gmail.com. So all donations go from PayPal to akashicwisdom at gmail.com. All right, so remember to be sure to come in next week. Let's see what's coming up next week. We're not sure. But next, on the 17th, we really want you to tune in, because Elena Lieberman's going to be here talking about her book on the principles of dynamic manifestation as brought forward from the Akashic Records. All right, my friends, I'm going to close the records for the show. So I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for all their wonderful healing information. We ask that all those listening, may their hearts be opened, their burdens be lifted, and may you all truly look into the mirror and see into the heart of the divine. And with that, we close the records for the Akashic Wisdom Internet Radio Show on January 3rd, 2010, by saying amen, amen, amen. The records are now closed. If you would join me in saying amen. Good night, everybody. Have a miracle-filled week. See you next week. Same time, same station. Bye-bye.